Okay, I guess you're ready. All right, my name is Steve Dillon. I have a school up in Danbury, Connecticut, and I've been teaching martial arts here for about 14 years. We started with about 1,500 square feet, and over the years have grown to about 9,700 square feet. We have over 800 students in this one facility, and we just run the one school. We run three classrooms. We teach about 124 classes a week. We have 15 instructors. And we have a variety of styles that we teach. We teach Taekwondo to our children, and everyone age about 15 and up does our Thai boxing, which is basically Muay Thai with long pants. It's been very successful, and the Thai boxing and our kids program, obviously. And we have about a 55% to 45% split of adults over kids. We have more adults than children here. And anyway, one of the things that they'd like me to talk about is marketing. And it's a subject that I've studied quite a lot, and feel I'm probably pretty proficient at it. We do anywhere from 30, 40, 50 enrollments every single month consistently, and I've got some pretty unique materials that I've created. What we wanted to do in this conference was talk about internal marketing because starting off a new year, these are very low cost and efficient ways for us to add new students to our school and certainly do it without investing a lot of money. And I like to blend my hard advertising, my newspaper and magazine-style advertisings with my internal marketing efforts, and you get really great results. I don't know that doing one or the other is good. A little bit of both certainly works well. But I don't know that I have anything really new to share other than perhaps the nuances, the little things that we do to extract the most out of our efforts. So you may or may not hear any new ideas today, as far as internal marketing, but I think you're going to hear some new ways to implement and to multiply results. So before I begin on giving you five of the internal marketing systems that we use here in our school, I wanted to go backwards a little bit and tell you some of the things that need to be in place in order to make them successful. I've had people over the years tell me that they've used my marketing concepts, whether it be an ad or a headline or a photo or even some internal marketing ideas, and they said, well, they didn't get great results. And I think that a lot of that comes from perhaps not having the right foundation, not having certain things done and accomplished in your school before you invest your time and efforts into marketing. So very simply put, in order for your marketing to be successful, whether it's internal or external marketing, one of the first things we have to do is make sure that we have a really clean school. Since most of our new students are brought to us by the moms, whether it be the mom joining or the mom enrolling the children or the mom making the arrangements for any other family member to be there, I think women are very tuned into cleanliness these days. In the old days, I think, martial arts schools were places for, men to gather and kind of would jump in, and sometimes the kids would tag along. But over the years, it's changed, and women are very big in our schools. So the cleanliness of school is very important, and it goes right down to the sidewalk and the front glass and the front desk and the carpet and the chairs and the corners of the room and the mirrors, and everything really needs to be clean, in the bathrooms especially. We probably clean our bathrooms 6 or 7 times a day at least, and especially if there's been any little boys in there. So making sure that the school is clean is a very important part of marketing, because whether you're doing internal or external marketing, it's going to be very hard to get referrals if your school isn't clean. The next thing is generally the aura and energy of the school, and that comes from your students and the staff. When people walk in, what do they sense? Do they sense a rigid, intense, maybe stiff or unfriendly environment, or does it appear open and friendly? And that could be the way you decorate it, but I think it has more to do with just how the students behave and how the staff behave when you come through the front door. And one of the things that we've always heard is that we have very positive energy in our school, and many people make their decision to join our school as soon as they walk through the front door, and I've heard that many times. They just feel good about the atmosphere. So make sure that you're giving off that type of tone if you are trying to bring children or women into your program. The next thing would be signage. Make sure that all your signage is professional. It isn't homemade or in need of repair. All these things, again, they all help magnify the efforts that you're going to put into your marketing. So make sure you have good signage and that, in general, the school looks professional. Phone etiquette is another important issue. You know, how is your phone answered? Is it answered quickly? Is the person who answers the phone knowledgeable? Do they feel, are they hard selling, or they seem comfortable and relaxed and gracious? So making sure that the phone is handled correctly is a very important part of marketing, because you might have a great ad or a great concept, you know, internally, and the person calls to make an appointment and the call isn't answered, there's no one there, there's an answering machine, or the person doesn't really understand how to make you feel at ease. So again, all this contributes. The condition and quality of your floor, your walls, your mirrors, and the equipment in general. It's very hard to get a referral when your facility is really not up to par. So if your existing students are looking at cracked or dirty mirrors, or the floor is old or dirty, you know, or has it's taped together, or, you know, just kind of starting to, it is in need of repair, or the walls are dented, and, you know, let's say some guy kicked a wall 3 weeks ago, but that hole is exactly where it was 3 weeks ago, you haven't made the effort to repair it. Again, this is all going to make it difficult for you to get referrals. The next item is making sure that the classes are fun and educational, well-run, they're loaded with value from start to and that they start and finish on time. We want to make sure that if we're going to invest time and effort into any type of marketing, that that our students are happy, because you could beg them, ask them, come up with the greatest idea for them to bring their friends along, but if they're not happy themselves, it's certainly unlikely that they're going to want to bring anybody along. We want to make sure our students feel safe and they feel confident under the instructor's supervision. So that's another issue, is, you know, making sure that if you're running sparring classes or doing drills, that you've got staff members there to ensure that the students are safe, and that we don't do anything that's inappropriate for a student's particular level of experience or personality. And we have to make sure that our students are seeing progress and benefiting and really getting the results that you promised them when they registered. So the only way your marketing efforts, whether they're internal or external, are going to work is if you have at least all of these little checkpoints taken care of. So otherwise, the money you spend in marketing or the effort you spend in internal marketing is really going to be for naught. You're just not going to see very good results. So therefore, anything I tell you from this point on is probably not going to yield you very good results in the end. So with that all in place, the school is clean and the classes are wonderful and the people are friendly and you've got great equipment and, you know, you've got a very professional environment, now it's time to begin marketing. One of the things that we do probably three or four times a year is called Bring a Friend Week. And I don't know that we invented it, but we have some unique features to Bring a Friend Week. And what we do is we discuss Bring a Friend Week for about 3 to 4 weeks in advance. So we'll select a date when we feel it's appropriate for, you know, we've got a pretty clear week in terms of, you know, what's going on in the school. And for about 3 or 4 weeks, we'll talk about it in classes, you know, in our little mat chats. We'll talk about it in our newsletter. We might do standalone flyers where we'll send out a flyer specifically to all of our students regarding Bring a Friend Week. If you're internet savvy, maybe you want to email all of your students and let them know about Bring a Friend Week. Basically, Bring a Friend Week is an opportunity for your students to bring a guest into the school. We ask that they bring their guest to a beginner class and that they attend the class with their friend to help make them comfortable and maybe assist in teaching them some of the drills that we're doing. We ask that they sign in every single time that they're there so that we have their name, address, and telephone number. We ask that the guest is introduced to the owner or senior instructor when they get there and that the guest is kind of informed as to some of the protocol that we might have in the classroom. So those are some of the things that we ask of them. We also ask that anyone that does come in for Bring a Friend Week is told by the staff or perhaps, you know, by their friend that they're welcome to a free introductory lesson by myself. I do all the lessons, the first lessons, the introductory lessons for all of my students. And by having that student or that potential student in an introductory lesson, I really get to explain in detail what it is that we offer in our school and the benefits of the program and our credentials and certainly even make an offer for them to join on maybe a one-month trial or something beyond that. So once they've arranged for that free lesson, then we treat them like someone that did a telephone inquiry, and it gives us an opportunity to try to register them. But there is no catch or hook with Bring a Friend Week. They literally are allowed to just bring their guests along and help them enjoy the school and the classes for a week. What's probably different is that we will follow up with thank you calls from our staff the following week and saying, you know, thank you for coming in. We hope you had a great time. And if you'd like to come in for a free private lesson, you know, we can arrange that. Their name goes into our database for all of our future mailings. And they'll even receive a personal letter or a postcard specifically thanking them for coming in to Bring a Friend Week. So what are the benefits of Bring a Friend Week? As you've got a pretty qualified lead, meaning that they've already got a friend that comes here and that person is happy, so they're doing a little bit of salesmanship for you. The other benefit is that, you know, they live locally, and they're probably in a similar economic status, not always, but could be. So this is a really good opportunity for you to bring on a new student. And then, again, now that they're here, we may be able to do an introductory lesson. But in the worst-case scenario, you know, if somebody attends Bring a Friend Week, they've come in, they've seen where your school is, they've had a good time, hopefully, they've got to meet you, they might give you a verbal referral to someone else, or you have them in your database and you can mail to them in the future. So if the opportunity or if the time wasn't right now for them to register, that down the road, 3 months, 6 months, a year, you know, whatever length of time you're going to keep them on that mailing list, that they're going to possibly be able to take advantage of something that you offer. And it may not even be them. It may be a family member or friend. So Bring a Friend Week is very successful for us. We probably have anywhere from 50 to 100 guests every single time, probably closer to 100 over the course of the week. And that's just a really inexpensive way to meet a lot of new people and hopefully expand your school. Very often, and my next item is movie night. Very often movie night is the last day of Bring a Friend Week. So let's say Bring a Friend Week is Monday through Friday. Saturday night is movie night, and the admission is to bring a friend. So it could be the same guest that you've been bringing along, or it could be a brand new friend. This obviously is offered to the children in the school, usually age 5 through 9 or 5 through 10, because at that age they're pretty well behaved and they have similar taste in movies, I would assume. So movie night is item number 2 on our list of internal marketing concepts. And I know a lot of people do movie night. We run it for about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And this gives us an opportunity to show a movie, maybe do a little bit of a karate lesson, and it also gives the parents an opportunity to decide if maybe they want to go out to dinner or see the movie themselves and then come back and pick up their children. So it's kind of free babysitting. Some people do like a parents' night out, so it's kind of a combination. We do promote this for about 3 to 4 weeks, so we get a nice full room of kids. The last time we did this, we had almost 200 children here during movie night, and they all had, you know, the 200 includes 100 of our students and about 100 guests. So that was another really great way to meet a bunch of new kids and show them our school. We suggest a sign-in sheet because you could go over your school's capacity pretty easily physically, and it also creates a sense of urgency. So if I say there's only 50 spots available for movie night and we have 800 students in our school, then they may feel like, oh, I better get my name on that list. So I suggest a sign-in sheet at your front desk and promote it, as I said, for about 3 to 4 weeks so that people, you can build it up and people have an opportunity to schedule around it, and you'll have a good turnout. The next thing is make sure you have good quality equipment. When we do our movie nights, we bring in a big 10-foot wide screen. We have a DVD projector, so the quality is really good. And then we hook up the sound to our existing sound system, so you've got a real theater type feel. So it's really exciting. We also have a popcorn popper, big kind of carnival style popcorn popper, and the kids get free popcorn while they're here, and of course juice boxes too. We use volunteer staff to help us set up and clean up, so there's really very little cost. We have 3 or 4 weeks in advance, so we'll ask some teenagers that you know have the right attitude and will contribute, and they like the opportunity to come in and kind of be staff members for the day, and so we use volunteer staff often to help us set up and clean it up. And we tell the kids, by the way, to bring blankets and pillows because they're going to be on the floor and we want them comfortable. Finally, one of the first things we do just to help manage movie night a little bit better is we always do protocol first. And protocol for us means before any of the kids come on the mat, we just give them some of the basic rules about, you know, the eyes on who, eyes on you, and bowing before they leave and exit the room, as well as putting their hand up if they need anything, and being very respectful in the classroom. So we do set them up with a good set of guidelines and rules so that we have some form of order in during movie night. The next thing is we do run this for about two and a half hours, so we usually have one movie and then a second movie, maybe a shorter movie or a cartoon, that will pop in after the first movie, and that'll play until all the kids get picked up, just so that there's something going on. So that's just a little something we learned from experience, is to have a backup movie. First of all, it's good in case you have equipment failure, let's say your DVD skips or something, but secondly, as I said, you've got something to play and just kind of keep the energy up while kids are being picked up. A little caveat, make sure that everyone signs in legibly. So we have our junior staff out there with clipboards and sign-in sheets so that when the kids trickle in through the front door, we immediately have their name, address, telephone, because that's really what movie night is all about. It's about, you know, first of all, it's just great for your existing students because, you know, it's a little retention tool, and it's exciting for them. But secondly, it gives you an opportunity to capture more names for your database. We do a follow-up. We hand out a guest pass at the end of movie night to all the kids who came so that they can come in for a free week of karate and get a karate T-shirt. And, of course, they'll get a follow-up mailing, follow-up postcards in all of our future advertising efforts. So it's a really beneficial system to help you meet new kids and put on a great show and just get more recognition in the community, you know, as far as who you are and what you do. So movie night can be very successful. It's very low cost. It's the cost of a rental movie. Of course, the equipment could be expensive if you buy it, but if you rent it, or maybe you many of us have students that probably would even be able to help you and let you borrow a projector or whatever. But in the worst case scenario, if you have to buy a projector, they're only about $600 or $700, so it's not the worst thing in the world. And most of us already have some form of audio system. So movie night is item number two. Number three is guest passes. And like I said, this isn't anything anything really new, but it's how we implement. For instance, when someone registers in our school on any type of program, whether it's a one-month trial or a nine-month or 12-month program or anything, we always give them a guest pass on day one. So right there at the front desk, they're going to get a guest pass, and we tell them how to use it. We always say, we know you have lots of friends, and we would love to meet them, so give one of your best friends this guest pass, and they'll get a week of free karate lessons or kickboxing lessons. They'll get a T-shirt. You get a T-shirt, and they'll even get a free private lesson with Master Steve. So the guest passes are handed out on day one so that everyone that joins my school, and, you know, that's over the course of the year, it's a lot of people, on day one is educated as to how to bring a guest into the school, because if you don't tell them, they may not know that they can, or they may not be motivated to do it. So always hand out a guest pass on day one and explain how to use it. There should be an incentive. We do the free week and a T-shirt. Some of you may have some other type of an idea. Certainly anything that would reward them for the effort is always nice. When we do have someone utilize a guest pass, so let's say that Johnny brings along Jack and they're in class together, that first day the teacher will, at the end of the class and the mat chat, say we'd like to give a free T-shirt to Johnny and Jack, and the reason for this is that Johnny brought Jack in using a guest pass. Everybody give him a round of applause, and oh, by the way, who else wants a guest pass in case you have a friend that you'd like to bring in? So then we'll hand out more guest passes during these mat chats. So we're giving Johnny public recognition and praise for bringing his friend in. His friend is also getting a round of applause and getting a free T-shirt, and all the other kids or all the other students are seeing, okay, this is how you get some recognition and praise here, is just bring along a friend, and he did it, and it was fun, and maybe I'll do it. So this is a great way to just perpetuate the concept so it doesn't just get filed away, you know, that guest pass doesn't get filed away and forgotten about. The next thing is every two or three months in our newsletter, we'll say, hey, when was the last time that you did bring a friend to CMA? And we have guest passes available at the front desk, and the teachers will actually bring guest passes into the classroom. So if we feel there's been a little slump in referrals with guest passes, we'll revitalize it by putting a little notation in our weekly newsletter and also bringing guest passes to the class so that the students can get a brand new copy. Maybe they lost theirs or got crumpled up in their wallet, or, you know, they forgot where it is, whatever. They now have a new opportunity and maybe a new friend since the last time, you know, we asked them to bring someone. So, again, another idea for you to perpetuate the guest pass program. It's very, very inexpensive. It just requires follow-up. That's all. Okay, that was item number three. Item number four is birthday parties. Now, I know most of you do birthday parties. However, I have met some people recently that said that they don't do them anymore because it kind of wasn't that popular, or they didn't feel they got enough referrals from them. Well, first of all, birthday parties are an income generator, so you certainly can earn some money with birthday parties. It's not enough to buy a new car, but it certainly, you know, helps offset some costs. Our parties are 90 minutes in length, and you know, besides the birthday parties being an income generator, there's just a lot of other benefits that come from them. Number one, it's a great retention tool, because if I'm having my birthday party here, first of all, you think you might guess I'm a pretty happy student. But number two, it's an opportunity for me to show off in front of my friends. And number three, it gives me something to be excited about for my school. It's not just a place where I, you know, have to do all these things in order to get a new belt. It just adds a new dimension to the training. So birthday parties are a good retention tool. But more than anything, it's just another opportunity to get more names on your database so that you can do future mailings, postcards, letters, whatever it is that you're doing. Those names are really valuable because these are the friends of your students, and they probably live in close vicinity, and they probably have very many similar likes and dislikes. So birthday parties are wonderful. Our parties are all-inclusive, and the reason they're all-inclusive is that we don't want anything to go wrong. So the more we control, the better. So we provide the party, obviously, and the instructors. We provide the invitation. We send it. We actually mail it out for the moms or dads. We do a custom invitation. We provide the cake. We provide the pizza and juice boxes and napkins and plates and everything that they need. The parents only need to bring their camera. We even do a pinata filled with candy, and the kids get a little goodie bag at the end. When we used to allow people to provide things, let's say they were going to provide the pinata, well, they may not have put enough candy in for the number of kids that were there, so that could create a problem. Or they may have, let's say the pinata isn't the type that we normally use, and it's difficult for us to break, and then you look kind of silly as you try to hack away at this pinata. So we'll buy pinatas that we know that we can break pretty easily. We also, by the way, we break the pinata for the kids. The teachers will do a spinning roundhouse or a jump spinning hook kick to break the pinata, because we don't want any possibility that a child will get hurt. So we aim the kick in the right direction so the candy goes the way we want it to go. And we've got the pinata prepared so it'll break on the first try. And we know there's enough candy in there. And we also know there's nothing dangerous in there. You know, we try to stay away from things with peanuts and all that good stuff. So we try to control everything. The reason we do the invitations is we obviously are getting access to those names and addresses right off the bat. So it's worth the price of a stamp and a postcard for us to know who's coming to our party, because that will obviously go into our database. The next thing is, when you do birthday parties, do remember it's a party and it's not an introductory lesson. I mean, certainly you do some karate stuff, and you should, but I know of some teachers that teach a birthday party as if it was a first lesson. And remember, those kids didn't sign up for a karate lesson, they signed up for a birthday party. So be careful not to be too rule intensive. I mean, yes, we do protocol, and we make sure the kids learn how to slap and bounce, say yes sir and yes ma'am, and have the three laws of learning, and, you know, they're going to be very respectful in the class, but we're not going to be teaching them a form or anything that, you know, that we might teach to a student that's a member of our school. We're going to just be doing some fun stuff that's karate related. So be careful with that. Anyway, we also do want to provide a guest pass at the end of the party. And that guest pass should invite them back, you know, have some sort of an incentive. So usually the same pass that we use on Bring a Friend Week or something like that, where they can get a free week and they get a T-shirt and they get a free private lesson. So that's birthday parties. We don't do telephone follow-up with them, meaning that, you know, those kids just signed up for a birthday party. They didn't necessarily register for lessons, so we have to be careful to be respectful and not overstep the boundaries and start calling them at home. We do give them a guest pass when they leave. They get into our database. They'll also get a little thank you letter for coming to the party, and they'll be included in all of our future mailings. But that's the extent of it. And as I said, you know, some people told me, oh, I don't get much of a return on birthday parties. Well, you don't necessarily always get a great return on birthday parties the day after or the week after. It's really an investment that you make in that student over the course of time, or that potential student over time. I've had kids join 6 months or a year after the party because they had to finish with hockey, or they had to get bored with soccer, or you know, the parents' financial situation changed or whatever. So you just have to have confidence in your school and realize that the more people you meet, you know, in any way, shape, or form, the more likely you are to get a referral. The next item is, and item number five, is our Friends and Family Raffle. This is something we promote 3 to 4 weeks in advance. It'll be promoted in our newsletters and maybe a standalone flyer, and it's talked about in all of our little mat chats. And what happens is all of our students get raffle tickets that they can go ahead and put the names and addresses and telephone numbers of someone that they would like to sponsor to the school. We're giving away a six-month program, two three-month programs, and 10 one-month programs with no strings attached, no obligation to purchase anything or to join. It's just a gift. And so most all of our students have a friend or a family member or someone that they're very close to, that a coworker that they would like to put in our raffle. Again, we talk about it as much as we can. We have a little fishbowl at the front desk, and we ask that the students go out there and put the name and address of their friend on there and telephone number of their friend on there. And basically what we're trying to do is procure more names for our mailing list, and we have thousands and thousands of names on our mailing list. And we actually will give away more than the 10 one-month programs. I have no problem with giving away 20 or 30 of them. We always meet the minimum requirements, which is the 6 month, the 3 month, and the 3 months, and the 10 1 month. But we'll even go beyond that because we assume that if their name was mentioned, that they might be interested in joining in one way or another. So I have no problem with giving away more 1 month free trials. Now, what we do though is, in order for any of these people to become members, they first have to do an introductory lesson, and that's probably the key, is, you know, for them to come in and work with me, and for me to explain the values and benefits of the program, and make sure that they're going to fit in. It's a good fit. You know, they might have won, but maybe they have a physical limitation or something else. So we always make them do the free private lesson, and then after that, the one-month trials, we'll go ahead and attempt to upgrade them to a 9 month or 12 month program, or perhaps even an additional month that they pay for, so they get a month free and they pay for a month. We'll basically try to, you know, offer them one of those things to see if we can create more of a longer-term student out of them. But if they just want to do the free month and then decide later, that's perfectly fine as well. So the key to the Friends and Family Raffle is to promote it for 3 to 4 weeks in advance, to make sure that everybody knows about it. Fill up your fishbowl with all those names and addresses. Go ahead and get all those names and addresses on your mailing list and start making phone calls. We do call these folks and offer them the opportunity to come in for a free lesson. And those are my five internal marketing concepts, and I'm very happy to answer any questions that anyone might have. Is anybody there?
I just opened the phone line, so everyone who's on the phone will be able to ask questions, or if you're on the web, you'll be able to type them in and submit them as well.
Okay.
I do have a question for you, Steve. My name's Joy. I'm from Delaware Ninjutsu.
Hi.
This is a brand new experience for me. We're just about to open our school, so your information was really useful. I've taken a lot of notes.
Good.
One question I had was regarding the guests, the number of guests that you get for Bring a Friend Week.
Right.
What sort of, you know, can you give me a general idea of what sort of success rate you have with, you know, if 50 to 100 guests are coming in when you do this, about how many of those are you able to convert into members?
Well, I think that's really up to you. The best success rate that we've had is when we're able to get them in a private lesson, because then they get the greatest opportunity. So let's say I were to meet you came in on Monday night and you did a lesson Then I might, you know, introduce myself after, make sure that you had fun, and then say, hey, why don't you schedule a free lesson with me, private, and I can, you know, really go through this in detail and make you feel really comfortable for your next class. So I'll really work it that way. But in terms of success rate, out of those 50 or 100 people that come in, I'm going to say probably 20 new members at least in the beginning, and then many of them convert later on Black Belt clubs and or we'll bring in referrals too.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Does that help?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Does anybody else have a question that's on the phone or on the web?
Master Deliana. Hi, yes. This is Miguel from Colorado. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good.
Listen, I was wondering where your tuition is for your basic program, Black Belt program, or any other ones that you may have.
Okay. We're at $159 for our basic program for karate and $169 for our Black Belt Club. Our Black Belt Club requires a 36-month total membership with on contract. Our minimum contracts are 9 months or 12 months. Those are the two options that you have to become a member here. Our adult program is $10 less. We only allow children in 3 days a week on basic program, up to 6 classes per week on Black Belt Club. Adults are always unlimited regardless of the program. However, adults do get are not allowed to attend a Black Belt, like sparring classes and self-defense classes, weapons classes, unless they're in Black Belt Club.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Okay, we have a question coming in from the web.
Okay.
This is Tina from Albuquerque. It says, on your Bring a Friend week, do you require that a parent be present? You know, oftentimes the child comes with a family member and their parent isn't present.
Good question. We do require that a parent register, sign them in. So we need a mom or dad to come along and sign them in. Or if that is really inconvenient, we don't want to you know, ruin an opportunity to meet someone new, then we would go ahead and have them bring in a note giving us permission.
Okay. And can I'd like to add a quick question to that, too. Is in your PR and your flyers and your newsletter announcements and all these things, is that something that is actually in there that, you know, hey, you need to make sure that your friend's, you know, parent comes in with them? Is that, or is that just...
That's a good point. We do that. And also in the Mat chats, we'll do that as well. So if you're going to bring a friend next week and make sure if they're not over 18 that the mom or dad brings them in and just signs them at the front desk. They don't have to necessarily stay, although we would prefer that, but if they just want to drop them off or be brought in by your mom or dad, then that's fine too. So we try to really make it easy on everybody, but it is kind of important, I think, just to avoid the potential litigation that, you know, that they are signed in correctly.
Gotcha. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Does anybody else have a question? I think we're all looking at our notes because I don't know about you. I'm on my page and a half of my notes as you were speaking. I had to write really fast. But so, no, it's a good thing. That's a good thing when I have all that to write. So I think everyone's probably sifting through. So
right.
Give them just a moment.
Okay, that's fine. You know, whatever. I'm fine. I'm here for you.
Does anybody else have a question? Yeah, we've got a hold of Steve. He's still here with us, so you know, please don't be shy about asking any questions.
Master Villan, this is Miguel again.
Hi, sir.
I understand you're having that Mastery Weekend. I've heard a lot about that.
Okay.
You know, I even heard that you teach your Thai boxing program and give people a lot of marketing ideas when they leave.
Yes. Can I talk about that?
I'd love to hear about it.
All right, I'd love to talk about it. Mastery Weekend is a 3-day event. It starts on Fridays at 1 p.m. and ends Sunday at, Friday at 2 o'clock and ends Sunday at 1 p.m. And the people that attend are basically in my school and around me and around my students their time. So we all stay in the same hotel. We eat all of our meals together. My Mastery Weekend is all-inclusive. You pay one price, and we take care of the hotel, the meals, snacks, and a huge amount of marketing items. We do a lot of class time, you know, a lot of meetings, but we also back it up with a lot of floor time. We have a pretty unique adult program, so most people that come in are really interested in learning about our Thai boxing and how we teach it and how we're able to have so many adult students. And of course, we do talk about our kids program. We do a lot of marketing. I have some pretty unique and I think wonderful ads and concepts. So when you are present at Master Weekend, you get discs and discs filled with beautiful pictures and really great headlines and ads that are ready to go. They're turnkey ads. They're all in Photoshop layered, so you can either edit them yourself or bring them to someone and have them edited pretty quickly and pop in your name or address. But these are the ads that I actually use, and that's what I think makes my marketing different than marketing concepts you might get from an association. These are the same ads that I'm running in my paper, in my Yellow Pages, or in my Penny Saver or whatever. These are the exact ads that have helped me grow my school. So they work. They're tested. I'd like to think that Mastery Weekend provides more materials and more ideas than any other weekend out there. It's comprehensive. It's not like you go to Mastery Weekend and then you have to go to every single meeting after that. I mean, we'd like it to, but just in that one weekend, it's so comprehensive and it's so intensive that many people are able to go back to their schools and start implementing right away. Our kids program, our adult program, is very, very unique, and it's very eye-opening, and it's a busy school, and there's just so much going on. We have wonderful teachers, so it's a total immersion in our world here, and it makes it so much different than a convention where there's other influences. You might go gamble if you're in Vegas. You might go to a show. You might go sightseeing. You might have – most people do not bring their families to Mastery Weekend. They just totally focus on the training and the meetings, and they're pretty intense. And it's been very successful, and we have many, many people who come in time after time, and I've had some folks that have done 5 or 6 Mastery Weekends, and they still say they haven't learned it all. Again, what makes it unique is it's one price, it's all-inclusive, we eat together, we stay in the same hotel, we train together, and it becomes a very cohesive group. So thank you for asking. We have our next Mastery Weekend on February 22nd, 23rd, and 24th.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Awesome. We have a web question that came in. The person didn't put their name on it, but this is sort of a question more, I think, towards me, actually. It's just saying, when we send a new agreement to Member Solutions, it's my understanding that they send a free guest pass to all new students as well as renewals. Should we still continue to give them out when they sign up? So I guess I'll answer the part one, and then, Steve, I'll let you have the part two to that,
okay.
Which is I'm sure you'll have. If you signed up for what's called Join In through your Member Solutions account, you just log into your MSI account, you sign up for Join In, there are two different coupons you can create on the welcome letters that we send to your students, to your new clients. So we do that, yes, but should we, Steve, so should somebody still continue to give them out when they sign up instead of just relying on that one letter?
Oh, yeah, definitely, absolutely. It's going to be more personal. There's nothing wrong with a two-pronged approach. I mean, for instance, when we do birthday parties or Bring a Friend Week, you'll get a guest pass, or a birthday party, for instance, or a movie night. You'll get a guest pass the night you're there or the day you're there. But in the mail will probably come another one because many people misplace, lose, or kind of forget what that's all about. And that's why we'll even continue to hand out guest passes in our classes just as a reminder every 3 or 4 months.
Awesome. And I have a quick question. I'm going back to your number 5, your Friends and Family Raffle, which I thought that's a great idea. That's something I had never considered doing myself before, as a raffle in that particular way.
Mm-hmm.
On that, I guess the question, my question is really, are they, the person who's putting their somebody else's name in that fishbowl,
right, that's right.
Are you directing them to make sure that they know about it, or like, how are you pre-framing that with the students who are going to put their friends' names in?
We let them know that that they're responsible for letting the person know when to come in and what to wear. In the past, we have given them a little tip, like card that tells them about how to dress and you know, put your hair back if it's a female, or, you know, or when it is, or, you know, we've experimented with some different things, but this last time we just did all word of mouth and just told them, you know, what classes they should attend, and, you know, that they should pre-frame the student. But we've left it up to them, and it's worked out very well. I mean, you don't want to really micromanage it too much or appear too pushy. And people tend to really care for their friends. You know, when they get here, they dote over them, and they make sure they're comfortable and safe, and so they're all equally good at filling them in on all the details.
Awesome. Thank you. Does anybody else have questions? Just so you know, too, Steve, there's a little lag time from the people listening on the web to them actually hearing what we're saying. There's about a 5-second little lag there. So
That's fine. That's fine.
I'm trying to give everybody a few extra seconds in there.
Thank you for letting me talk about the Mastery Weekend. And, you know, we don't have a website or anything for them to look at, but we do have postcards. We'll be very happy to mail a postcard to anyone that contacts me and wants more information. So they can just call my school. Can I give out my number? Would that be all right?
Absolutely. Please do.
Telephone number here is 203-792-1544. That's 203-792-1544. And they can ask for either Rachel or myself or my wife, Linda, and we can give them more information about the price and how much it costs for additional staff members and any other detail that I left out. But they just need to call the school. Even if they just don't want to ask questions, but they want to get on our mailing list for future Master Weekends, I'd be very happy to just take down their information and make sure they get something in the mail. But it's Mastery Weekend has been very successful. We keep it relatively small, usually between 20 and 30 participants, so it's very personal. Everybody gets to ask lots of questions and get their needs met. And it's just kind of grown by word of mouth. You notice that we don't really have much marketing, you know, in terms of, like, you don't see us in the MA Success magazine or anywhere else. People are just so happy. They just either keep coming back or bringing their friends along. It's been a really wonderful program. We've been doing it for almost 3 years now.
Yeah, I've only heard nothing but good things from people who've been, so
thank you.
It's a good thing. We do have another web question that came in, and it's just, what does the student get for entering their friend and family in the raffle?
They actually don't get anything, just the satisfaction of knowing that they did a good deed. So there's no gift or incentive for them on Friends and Family Raffle. It's just, you know, having a new workout buddy. You know, that seems to be enough. And usually we treat their friends and family so well that they get their satisfaction out of knowing that they introduced them to us. It's kind of like giving a gift.
Gotcha. I've got one more question, and then we'll ask if anybody else does. And hopefully somebody else is wondering this too. I'm wondering, out of these 5 events, you know, you've got 3 to 4 weeks on promotional time, which is awesome. You know, you've got to do that to get people there. But how often do you do these? Like, what's your rotation? How many Bring a Friend weeks do you do in a year? How many movie nights?
We probably do maybe 2 of each. So these will occur, and we have some other ideas as well, but you'll probably see Bring a Friend Week and Movie Night in the Bring a Friend Raffle about twice a year. We don't want to overdo it because then it obviously kind of fizzles out. So they're all a little bit unique, and you'll probably see each one twice a year, and that way we get good results. We get good turnout. Everyone gets excited about it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Tina has another question. She wants to know if you have any ideas on how to create a sense of urgency on the use of the guest passes. She's saying that our students know that they can get a guest pass from me anytime they want, so they sort of take it for granted.
I think that by bringing them into the classroom and, you know, when the student does bring a guest in and making a big deal out of it, that creates a little bit of urgency. Other than that, you can certainly change the gift. It could be more than a T-shirt. You could say, this time, if you bring in a guest within the next 30 days, instead of a T-shirt, we're going to convert that into a uniform. Or you could have anything that you feel, a weapon, anything that you feel that the student might get more excited about, maybe a pair of workout shoes. Changing the gift, I think, is kind of creative. but more importantly, just teaching really, 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 really great classes and having a super facility. I mean, when I see a good movie, the movie company doesn't have to offer me incentive to tell my friends about it. When I see a good movie and I love it, I want to share it with everyone I know. So I don't need that much incentive if I'm really happy. Does that make sense?
Yes.
By the way, any of the members there that would like to call me personally, I'm perfectly fine with that. Usually between 10 and 2 is good. Or they can email me. My email is mastersteve63@sbcglobal.net. I'll be very happy to answer questions. One of the things I really enjoy about my job, so to speak, is the opportunity to help others achieve success. I just respect martial artists so much. I know how hard we all work, and I want to share any experience I have or any wisdom or knowledge that I've gained. I'd love to share it with my fellow martial artists. So if anyone would like to call me directly, you know, just respect the time of 10 to 2, which is our more or less our downtime, and that's 203-792-1544, or just email me, mastersteve63@sbcglobal.net. I promise to answer you back.
Okay, awesome. And I did have one final question, seriously, and I'll stop asking.
Okay.
Throughout your presentation, I was hearing that you do your introductory lessons.
Yeah, I do all my.
Is that just with their friends, or do you actually do all of them?
I do every single one, every man, woman, and child.
Wow.
I work with personally. I think it gives them an understanding that, you know, they're important to us. I'm the gatekeeper. If I don't feel someone is appropriate for the program, I would not accept them as a member. There's a little bit of a what we would call like a qualification process, and I think I'm the best suited to articulate the values and benefits of the program, and it's been my method for years and years and years now, and it helps me to stay in touch with my students too, because we do have a big school and a big population, and at least me being there on the very first day, I get to know their names, get to know about them, and although I may not be teaching many of their classes, there's some form of a bond that we establish there. It's a lot of work.
Wow.
I
was going to say 30 or 40 intros
to
students a month.
Yeah, it's a lot. So.
That's a lot, plus the schedule, too. If anybody wants to look at the schedule that Steve has set up, his website, is that okay? You don't mind if
Of course, yeah.
Put that out? Is that ctmartialarts.com, CT like Connecticut, martialarts.com, and he's got quite an amazing schedule, and you're working with, I believe, over 800 students, aren't you?
Yeah, 124 classes a week. 7 days a week.
184 classes a week. So if you want to see how you schedule that, visit his website. It's quite impressive.
It seems easy.
A little scary.
It is a lot, I guess. I have a great staff.
It is. So. Well, Steve, I want to thank you so much for taking your time out of your day to be with us today for our Knockout the New Year event. And like I said, I took a lot of notes, so I hope everybody got a lot out of it. I'm sure they did. Because a lot of us do these different events, but maybe are missing one little thing that could make a huge difference in the amount of referrals that we get.
Right.
You know, and I think a lot of us are really good at the middle portion of it, but it's that promotional portion and then the follow-up portion at the end that maybe other people need to tweak a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it makes perfect sense, and I really, again, want to thank you. I really enjoyed your presentation today.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure, and anytime I'd be very happy to help.